every minute, 267 people are born. That's 384,000 people every day. To add to the 7 billion of us already here, in all of these billions, how do you feature? How strong is the power of one? Welcome to Storyline. I'm Chantal Klingbeil, and I'm so glad that you've joined me on a brand new season for Storyline. We're coming to you live. Now, this means that if you want to ask a question or contribute to the program, you're very welcome to do so throughout our show. It's really simple, and you can do it in a variety of ways. You ready? You can call toll-free 888-9-STORYLINE. Or use 707-200-1070 to call or text. And for more instant interaction, you can find Storyline on Facebook. Storyline is all about stories. Now, not bedtime stories or children's stories, but real, true life stories of Bible characters that faced issues, challenges, and faith questions. People who lived in times of change and crisis. In Storyline, we focus on these Bible characters. We look over their shoulders as they faced economic challenges, struggled with family problems, fell in love, faced illness, or even had their lives torn apart by war. As we step into their world to study life from their perspective, we look at their challenges, their heartbreaks, and victories to find clues for our lives. Studying these Bible characters gives us new perspectives for our lives. And the best part of it all is that in these storylines, we find a God who loves us intensely and immensely. Have you ever looked in the mirror and wondered? Wondered about the difference that you can make? Does life just pick you up and keep carrying you along? Or do you have choices? How much powerful change can one person make? For Gideon, life must have seemed a continual grind. But then he discovered the power of one plus God. If you have your Bible nearby, you can find this story of an apparent nobody who changes the course of a nation. In Judges Chapter 6 and 7. Let's rewind about 3,300 years. Times were hard. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press of all places. He wanted to avoid the Midianites who were terrorizing the land. And there at the wine press, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. Very strange greeting. The Lord is with you, courageous warrior. Gideon just catches the first part. How can the Lord be with us, sir? I mean, why all this disaster? Where are these great miraculous stories our ancestors are always telling us of how God intervenes on Israel's behalf? The angel of the Lord does not enter into any controversy with Gideon. He just says, "You deliver Israel from the power of the Midianites. I am sending you." Wait a minute, Lord. It can't be me. I'm from a very insignificant tribe. The tribe of Manasseh is really the weakest tribe. And besides that, I'm the youngest in my family. Ah, but I will be with you. The angel of the Lord says, Gideon, you will be able to take on the whole Midianite army. Gideon must have pinched himself to try to make sure that this was real. Lord, if you're really pleased with me, I need some proof. I tell you what, you promised to stay here while I go back and bring a gift to present with you. The angel of the Lord says, I'll stay. So Gideon rushes off and prepares a meal for the angel of the Lord. It must have taken some time. Then he comes back and presents this meal on the rock before the angel of the Lord. The Lord does something strange. He doesn't sit down to a good meal. He takes the tip of his staff and just touches the meal. Instantly, a fire comes from the rock and consumes the gift, and the angel of the Lord disappears. Before Gideon was ready to take on that Midianite army, God had work for him to do, work that was closer at home. God told Gideon to tear down the Baal altar of his clan and cut down the nearby Asherah pole. Gideon wasn't courageous yet. He was afraid. Afraid of his family, afraid of the men of his clan. And so, instead of doing this in broad daylight, he waited until nighttime to get the job done. While Gideon was sorting out his home problems, the Midianites, Amalekites, and all the people of the east gathered together, crossed the Jordan River, and assembled in the valley of Jezreel. Gideon wasn't sure. Was this God's call? Was he supposed to face this tremendous army? Gideon needs proof. He needs a sign. God, let's take this fleece. If the fleece is wet tomorrow, while the ground remains dry, then I'll know that you've chosen me. The next morning, the fleece was so wet that Gideon could wring out a whole bowl of water. But Gideon was still not 100% sure. God, please, please don't be angry if I ask for another sign. Tonight, please let the fleece remain dry while the ground around is wet with dew. Again, God hears Gideon's prayer. The next morning, the fleece is bone dry, while the ground around is wet with dew. This was enough for Gideon. He called the Israelites to arms. With the size of the army they were facing, the Israelites needed every single man they could muster. And yet, God says, there's still too many. You still have too many men. Take them down to the water and I'll help thin their ranks a little more. So Gideon takes his army right down to the water. And there, by the actual process of watching the men drink from the stream, God makes a selection. Only 300 men are kept. With 300 men, God says, Gideon will conquer this tremendous, big coalition army. 300 men. The rest can go on back home. The Midianites, Amalekites, and all the people of the east were encamped in this tremendous big army that was like a swarm of locusts settled. And yet, encouraged by a dream, Gideon goes back to his little group of 300 men and says, get up. God is going to deliver the Midianite army into our hands. He divides them into three groups of 100, and then issues them, not with some new armor, but with a trumpet and a clay jar, which covers a burning torch. Armed with these unusual weapons, Gideon's army sets off at night. These three groups surround this vast army. At the right moment, the clay jars are broken. Gideon's men stick out that burning torch, blast on their trumpets, and shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." God fights for Israel. Panic breaks loose in this vast army, and they begin fighting against each other. A decisive victory is won that night by Gideon and his insignificant little group of 300 men that God can use. For Gideon, that meeting with the angel of the Lord in the winepress changed the way he viewed himself and the little people and even the little things in life. Our everyday life consists of the sum of many little actions, small decisions. Even our health depends, to a very large degree, on the small choices we make every day. We have with us today Annette Ryan. Annette has first-hand experience in food choices. Welcome to Storyline, Annette. It's really great to have you. Right after the break, she'll be back and she'll be sharing some very small culinary tips which can have a big impact on the way you prepare your meals and, of course, your health. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. Okay. You look good.
Because of you, Hope Channel is reaching lives around the world.
Hope Channel brings hope. Exactly what the channel is called. It's everything that a home can need, from how to eat so that we are healthy, to how to keep and maintain an awesome relationship with God. It speaks truth. From the beginning I put on my TV until when I turn it off, it speaks to me truth.
Hope Channel is changing lives because of the support of viewers like you. If you'd like to assist financially with the mission of Hope Channel, call us at 888-4-HOPE-TV. That's 888-4-HOPE-TV. Or write us at the following address.
I have with me Annette Ryan. Annette is the chef of vegetable-inspired Whole Foods. She's also director of a nonprofit cafe coming to Washington, D.C. And I can personally recommend her cooking because she supplies suppers to all of the Hope Channel live show's production crew. Again, thank you for joining us and welcome.
Thank you.
It's different being over here and not just feeding us from the other side.
It is.
You've bought some beautiful looking things. And I must say, whenever Annette cooks, the food looks good as well as tasting good.
Thank you.
Now, Annette, we've just spoken about Gideon and the story of Gideon. And it's interesting to note how the story of Gideon kind of is entwined with food as well. He's threshing wheat on the wine press. And then he rushes off to prepare a meal for the angel. There must have been some meal. And then there's that barley loaf that encourages him. So it's a simple everyday thing, but it seems to have a big impact in this story.
Yes,
here. Now, you have some simple things here that can make a big impact. Where do we start?
Let's start with sugar.
Something sweet.
Something sweet.
Okay. Here we have a cup with sugar. This is just regular sugar?
White sugar.
Okay.
The thing about sugar is it has no nutritive value, mm-hmm. and the body doesn't actually need sugar to function.
You mean I don't really need sugar in my
really
diet?
You don't need sugar in your diet.
Okay. Now, I don't really use that much sugar with my stuff. If you don't actually pour the sugar over your food, that means that you're not getting sugar in your diet?
Well, it depends. If your diet consists of primarily processed foods, those foods tend to have a lot of sugar added in as a preservative or to make food taste better to the mm-hmm. to the palate. So in thinking about Gideon and the small steps he took, I thought sugar might be a good thing to focus on because there are many ways that we can focus on it and control the content in the food that we eat.
And how can we take control of our sugar?
Well, first, reading your labels. If sugar is one of the first five ingredients on the label of something you wish to purchase, mm-hmm. avoid purchasing it.
Too much.
Okay. Two of the foods readily prepared that have the highest sugar content are yogurt and oatmeal.
Oatmeal? Yeah, just regular oatmeal?
Oatmeal, when you buy those instant pre-flavored oatmeals, lots of sugar added in.
And yogurt's supposed to be a really good one.
It can be. But when you buy the kind that is pre-sweetened...
There's so much sugar. About how much sugar would I be getting in my yogurt?
You're going to get between 17 and 22 to 25 grams of sugar.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hidden sugars.
So you can take back control, as I said, by choosing to purchase plain yogurt, for example, plain soy, plain almond yogurt, and unprocessed oatmeal, just the whole oats.
But that doesn't look like it tastes very good.
It doesn't, but see, you can dress it up a bit. So uh-huh. let's do that.
All right, dress it up.
Okay, so...
What are you going to begin
Instead of sweetening your oatmeal with sugar, mm-hmm. my suggestion would be to put some fruits. There we have some peaches. Here are some figs.
I like figs. Yeah. And it adds a nice color to it, too.
We wanted to put a little date to sweeten
it. Now,
that will
really sweeten things
up. Here we have some strawberries.
That looks good, too.
Yes. And I have a few nuts.
Okay, that's not going to help much with the sweetening process.
No, but it adds some good fats, you know.
Right.
Here's some sunflower seeds.
So while we're eliminating or controlling our sugar, we're not just subtracting, we're also adding.
Yes. And here's a little cinnamon.
Yeah. Give it that little edge.
Now here, I'm not going to add the flax seeds, but I wanted to make the point mm-hmm. that flax seeds, you can buy them ground, but that's not the best way to have them. The best thing to do if you're going to have flax seeds, grind them, put them in your food right away, and eat mm-hmm. them. And here we have some coconut milk, and we'll add that in.
This looks good.
And we have some bananas.
End up with
we'll
some
add
bananas.
Some natural sweetness. Mm. And you have something there that doesn't have sugar, but you've taken control now.
That looks excellent. You know, I'm going to taste this. In the break.
Please do.
This looks really, really good. Okay, so that's small things that we can all do to reduce our sugar.
Yes.
Well, so, we have something else here, and this looks really good.
Yes.
Does this have something to do with water?
Yes, it does.
Why don't we swap places? I'll let you over closer. Okay.
So,
I know we're supposed to drink a lot of water, but plain truth is, it doesn't taste that good.
It doesn't taste that
especially
good.
When we've been spoiled with sweet-tasting
soda
things.
And juice. It's better to eat the whole fruit than to drink fruit juice.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, it's nice. But
what do you have here?
Here we have plain water that I've taken and put cucumber slices in and some lemon slices. And just let it sit in the refrigerator, or you can leave it on your countertop. And you have cucumber water.
So the idea is to let it sit a long time?
An hour to 8 hours. Mm-hmm. As the longer it sits, the longer, the deeper the flavor that you have. Mm-hmm. This one is one with orange.
And that would be just a hint of orange.
A hint of orange and lime and lemon. And this just serves to make the water taste a little bit better. And it's pretty to look at.
That looks great.
Yes,
that looks great.
This one here is just a tea bag, herbal tea bag, that we've put in water and just let it sit. Didn't heat up the water at all. Just let it sit. And it just lightly flavors the water and makes it easier to drink.
So these are very simple, easy, little steps
yes.
that we can take, little changes that we can make. And what results can we expect?
Well, decreasing your sugar it leads to loss of weight.
Ah.
And sugar is the culprit for many diseases that we are afflicted with. And so reduce the sugar in your diet, and you reduce your chances of insulin resistance, of diabetes,
wow.
type 2, and enjoy better health.
So, small changes, better health, big results.
Big results.
Annette, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
With these small things that we really can apply, these very small choices that we can make, that will make a big, big difference. Well, in a moment, we will be hearing from a panel of experts that will help us as we delve into the story of Gideon and the small choices that he would make.
Because of you, Hope Channel is reaching lives around the world.
To me, the Hope Channel is life changing. To be able to listen to the Hope Channel, to watch it, to hear and to learn and to just soak it all up, it is amazing. I probably could have earned an associate degree in the amount of time that I spent. I was like a sponge to water, just soaking up every word and their health message and their sermons and their Bible studies and everything about them.
Hope Channel is changing lives because of the support of viewers like you. If you'd like to assist financially with the mission of Hope Channel, call us at 888-4-HOPE-TV. Because of you, Hope Channel is reaching lives around the world.
Because of Hope Channel today, my heart is at peace. My heart is experiencing that joy that it had once experienced. Deep-seated happiness and peace. And I'm so thankful that Hope Channel has had its way in the world to be able to present such beautiful things in an open way to the entire world.
Hope Channel is changing lives because of the support of viewers like you. If you'd like to assist financially with the mission of Hope Channel, call us at 888-4-HOPE-TV. That's 888-4-HOPE-TV. Or write us at the following address.
Was trying to get his threshing done all on his own. Good thing the angel of the Lord knew where to find him and made the connection. Storyline is all about connecting too. We have lots of tools to help us connect and communicate. You can call us, text us, find Storyline on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can even download the app or subscribe to the HD podcast. If Storyline has impacted you in some special way, or if you have a Bible story that you'd like us to tackle, please let us know. And a big thank you to everyone last season and also in the break that contacted Storyline with comments and questions. We really enjoy interacting with you. We have a dramatic, dynamic story in Judges 6 and 7. And I'm so glad that we have a dynamic team of experts to help us navigate this dramatic story. Pastor Rob Long is, I think, a familiar face on Storyline. Pastor Rob has a passion for the Bible. Welcome to Storyline again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's good to have you with us. It's a pity, though, that you couldn't bring Chris, your wife, along with you. It would have been good to have that great team, because you guys make a great team.
She'd love to be here, but she has to be with her parents tonight in Philadelphia.
So she's a way off.
Yeah,
hopefully she's joining us.
Maybe next time. Yeah, she's watching us.
Watching us.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm so glad that I have my teammate along. I always enjoy having my husband on Storyline. I could tell you a lot of good stuff about him. But because I also want to have time to introduce our other guest, I'll just say that Dr. Gerald Klingbeil, boy, hitch on my own last name, is an expert in Old Testament history. And, of course, he's my favorite person to work and live with. Thank you for joining us again tonight.
Well, who can say no to you, Chantal?
I'm really glad that we can work together again on
Yes.
It's always fun when you're here.
Looking forward to it.
And we are joined by a young lady. Marla Seasley may not be that well known this side of the camera, but she's very familiar with Storyline. She's been a very important part of the behind-scenes production staff. And right now, she's working with the brand new live health show. Perhaps you watched it a little earlier. Go Healthy for Good, right here on Hope Channel. I'll just put in a little bit of advertising. If you haven't seen Go Healthy for Good, I'm sure you'll want to not miss this program. Every evening, great program. Well, thanks for joining us, Marla.
Thank you.
Are we all ready for Gideon's story?
Ready.
Well,
yeah.
Let's go for it.
Let's go for it. Storylines, stories, all take place in a context. Mm-hmm. We all sons, daughters, husbands, wives, and we all live in a certain time and a certain place. Mm-hmm. This story is 3,300 years ago. Mm-hmm. What's the context? Give us a little feel for that time.
Well, the time of the judges was a time of tremendous change for Israel. They had arrived from Egypt. God had shown them great victories. They had partially taken the country, the mm-hmm. Palestine. But somehow, things didn't work out, you know, that well. There were always these curves going up and down, going up and down. So it's a time where we have lots of tribal conflict. Mm-hmm. There's no king, there's no central government, and lots of change.
Lots of change. You wanted to say something, Rob. Is it similar to our times in a little way, or
well,
very
I think
far
not only to our times, but I think the experience of the time of the judges reflects the experience of a lot of people, what they go through. Sort of like a spiritual roller coaster, going from depths of sin and apostasy to feeling afflicted because of it, and then crying out to the Lord for help and repenting and confessing sin, and then God raises up a deliverer, and there's a great victory, and then that victory carries us forward for a while until, you know, temptation does its thing again, and there's this falling away and a coming back to
backwards
the Lord.
And forwards and
yeah.
backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that we can't just have a smooth upward climb, that we have to have this wave over and over.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of internal and external conflict. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not just that they're going through this wave. Israel's wavering in what they believe, but then also the people around them are putting pressure on them, and it mm-hmm. makes them question things, too.
Yes.
And we'll see our hero, Gideon, he's not immune to any of this either.
No.
Mm. He's also a product of his time.
Well, he's a real person. And like real people, like myself, like you, like Rob and Marla, we don't just have a one-dimensional character. I think that's something that's actually, for me, encourages me to put more trust in God's word. These are real people.
Not a collection of fairy tales.
It's not a Hollywood star, you know?
Well, let's continue looking at this context. Probably the context begins, you said, pressure within and without, and maybe some of the most pressurized place is home. Mm. That's where we kind of begin. Mm. Do we know anything about Gideon's home life?
Well, we know his father was named Joash. We know he had brothers. They were not a real well-known family, evidently, mm-hmm. in the tribe of Manasseh. But they were.
He doesn't seem to think so.
Right. But they were distinguished for bravery, valor, integrity. They have been involved in many of the wars with the Midianites. Chapter 8 tells us that all of Gideon's brothers lost their lives in these battles with the Midianites. So they had a reputation, and Gideon himself had distinguished himself as a mighty warrior for Israel. They're actually feared by these invading tribes that would come in because of what he had done before.
So this is not a theoretical war. This is a real personal thing. He has been affected in mm-hmm. his family by this.
Mm-hmm. Well, his family is also, it seems to be that his father is also worshipping Baal. Mm-hmm. You know, he's somehow has deviated a little bit. You know, some people actually think that it was okay. People thought in that time thought you had your town's god and then you have the national god. And yeah, maybe the Lord was the national god, mm-hmm. but they also worship Baal. We find, an altar, mm-hmm. an Asherah pole there. So. And Joash is right there. He seemed to have, you know, been a leader also in that clan and community. Mm-hmm. So there's spiritual uncertainty. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the story of Abram and his father. Mm-hmm. He came out of a
very uncertain
that there wasn't just clear cut.
Now, the angel of the Lord greets Gideon with a very, very strange greeting. He gives him the title Mighty Warrior. In chapter 6, verse 12. Now, I'm sure you can identify this, you know, maybe from the female point. We hear this sometimes. People say really nice things about us, and we think, maybe they're just trying to flatter us or be nice and kind to us. God is not supposed to be a flatterer. Well, why does he address him like that?
I think he's addressing the potential that he sees in him. Mm. I mean, that's what he does with Abraham earlier. He changes his name before he's a father of many nations. Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is happening again. He's saying, this is what you'll become, even though you're not that already.
God has an ability for seeing things that we can't see already.
And he also gives the program. He sees something in that person, but the real program is that the Lord is with you. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's the secret to the victory as well. Later on, you know, the great victory over the Midianites. It's not their capacity. It's not Gideon's charismatic leadership. No, it's God's being with him.
It's God's being with him. And this is a point that we've got to explore some more. Mm. This is a great point. We're going to come right back to this one. Have you ever asked God for a sign? Is that something we can still do today? Perhaps there's a certain procedure that we need to follow. After the break, we're going to continue with this story and we're going to explore these very questions. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Because of you, Hope Channel is reaching lives around the world.
Since watching Hope Channel, I have lost 25 pounds, and that's really good for me because I have thyroid problems, and my doctor, he told me, he said that I would have a hard time losing weight, and we've been on this the diet since. It's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change, and I have asthma, and I had high cholesterol. The last time I went to the doctor, my cholesterol was down from 201 to 167.
Hope Channel is changing lives because of the support of viewers like you. If you'd like to assist financially with the mission of Hope Channel, call us at 888-4-HOPE-TV. That's 888-4-HOPE-TV. Or write us at the following address.
In case you've just joined us, we're discussing the story of Gideon found in Judges 6 to 9. And please remember, if you have a question or comment, you can jump in and join the conversation at any point. The story of Gideon, I mean, we can't read the story of Gideon without seeing signs. They're just all over the show. Gideon asks for at least three signs that I can count. There's that sign at the beginning. We ask the angel of the Lord to stay while he cooks him dinner. Mm-hmm. It's a funny sign, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then we have the fleece, the wet fleece and twice. the dry yeah. fleece. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sign and reverse sign. Mm-hmm.
And then we have a dream.
Oh, the dream as well. Is that a sign that he asked for as well?
I think he asked God, knows this, and takes him to the camp and says, look,
he didn't actually
here's another
ask for
sign.
That sign, but God gave him that one anyway.
So he gets three signs and an extra.
Yeah, right.
Is this something that's just in the Bible stories? Is this something that we can still do today?
Well, I think it's important to look at why he was asking for signs. I mean, it was a real desperate situation in Israel. He was up against a huge obstacle in the Midianites, and that first sign, he was just wanting to know, is this really from God? Is this the angel of the Lord? Which is a good question. I mean, if you're going to embark on a mission like this, you want to really know that God is the one that has mm-hmm. sent you. And so that one I can understand. Then the one about the fleece, mm-hmm. you know, by that time he has seen the overwhelming size of the opposition, and I think he's getting a little bit fearful. His faith is a little bit shaky. And so he gets the wet fleece, mm-hmm. but then the wet fleece could happen just naturally because wool absorbs moisture, and so he might have thought, well, that could have just been a coincidence.
Perhaps he overslept a little on that morning, and when he got up, the sun was already shining warm.
Yeah, but God seems to be very patient with Gideon mm-hmm. through this process,
yeah.
and I think that requiring signs is kind of a sign itself of an mm-hmm. immature faith.
Uh-huh.
And that God takes us where we are in our faith and our experience. And really, the longer we've been walking with the Lord,
the less signs
reading the
we'll
Bible,
need.
Knowing how God has worked in the past, knowing the character of God and how he mm-hmm. reacts to different situations, we should really need fewer and fewer signs the longer we're walking with the Lord.
Okay.
Jesus said an evil generation seeks after a sign. Of course, he was talking to the Jews who had already had so many signs mm-hmm. that Jesus was the Messiah. They kept asking for more. But it wasn't really that they wanted to know. It's what they wanted a reason. You know,
that they didn't want to know.
Right.
Well, how do you two feel about that? Do you think you ask for signs less and less as your faith matures? Or is it maybe the other way around?
Well, I mean, it seems like it's something that you do with immature faith, but I mean, how do you know when you're supposed to ask for signs? Mm-hmm. Is this an appropriate thing to do? I mean, he did it there, but does it work for me?
That's the bottom line. Does it work for me?
I think if a sign builds faith, that's something that God will use. I mean, I just remember the story of Isaiah when he meets the king, the Jewish king, and says, God tells you, ask any sign. I'll do anything for you. And he says, no, I don't want to. So even a sign requires my faith, my step of faith. It may be immature, it may be growing, but it's not something that God says, well, you know, he's really taking up the ball and running with the ball for Gideon and for Israel.
And it seems to work. It seems to work for Gideon. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded on one of our previous programs, we spoke about Hezekiah.
Yes.
And I mean, you can't really beat that kind of a sign.
No.
Where he actually had the shadow on the sundial go back.
Right.
Which, of course, we know is even more dramatic than just a shadow. Mm-hmm.
We should probably point out that people can get into a bad habit, I guess, of trusting in signs for every little thing, you know, small decisions or things we really ought to be able to reason out and think out mm-hmm. scripturally mm-hmm. based on what God has said in his word. And But in certain instances, when it's a lot is at stake and you want to be cautious, I think God meets
works
us there.
With
he
us.
Understands that. And
so is there some sort of procedure that we can, I see you hinting towards some sort of a procedure that we could follow or steps that we could follow when asking for a sign or when wanting to ask for a sign?
Well, I think I'm thinking of our marriage. You know, we've been married now for...
Was that a good sign?
22 years nearly.
That's and good that you know that.
Yeah, that's very good. But I think the longer you are with somebody, the less signs you will need. You will be able to read and understand that person much better. And I think it's the same. I'd like to apply that. There's growth potential, but it's not that I wake up every morning and say, do I get a sign of Chantal's love today?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't need
that.
There's
some things you can take for a given.
In this case, yes, I think so. Do I know what she wants? Mm-hmm. Let's ask for a sign. No, because I've studied her, you know, if you apply it to, mm-hmm. to the biblical context. Yeah, I know God's will through his word. And at certain key moment, I think God will also make his call and his direction very clear.
Which, of course, we see particularly in the, later on with the sign that's not even requested, chapter 7, verse 13, where God tells Gideon to go down to the camp. And I'm reading chapter 7, verse 13 of Judges. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to the tent, struck it so that it fell, overturned, and the tent collapsed. And this Midianite then gives God's sign. The interpretation, the end of the next verse, he says, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian.
But look at the bigger context. Why is God giving that sign? He has just sent away basically the whole army.
You'd need some reassurance, wouldn't you?
There's 1% left, less than 1% out of 32,000, and only 300 are left. I would get very nervous as a leader. And I think God anticipates and says, look, now listen carefully.
Here's a good sign for you. Well, speaking of signs, let's look quickly. We don't have much time, but let's have a look at the men at the river. God makes his selection in chapter 7, verse 5. We have the smaller group of 10,000, mm-hmm. 10,000 brought down to the water, and God makes a selection. Again, there's another sign. Why does God use a sign here as well with the way they're drinking water?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, to me, it seemed like the significance on how the way they chose to drink the water was showing how ready they were. If you're sticking your face in the water and not aware of your surroundings, you're not really ready for battle. But when you're bringing it up to your mouth to drink, you can watch around you, and it shows that you're ready inside, and it's reflected in your actions. Mm.
So this ready inside reflected in the actions gives a bit of a sign. Mm-hmm. An outward sign of what's happening inside. Mm-hmm. Will we continue with our story and we tackle some other big questions? Probably one of the biggest questions is, do we need a majority to affect change? Or if we put it in other words, how can I practically make a personal difference in my world? You can let us know what you think. And you can share your comment through Facebook, Twitter, or you can call us or text. And right after the break, we'll be back with that question.
Because of you, Hope Channel is reaching lives around the world.
If it wasn't for Hope Channel, today we would just be doing the regular old routine, going to church and not getting any more out of it. I would actually feel bad because of the fact that I couldn't just pick up my Bible like I do now and read it and get more out of it than I got out of it before. It was the same old thing over and over again. Now when I read the Bible, I just am so filled with joy for knowing the truth and the answers have been given to me.
Hope Channel is changing lives because of the support of viewers like you. If you'd like to assist financially with the mission of Hope Channel, call us at 888-4-HOPE-TV. That's 888-4-HOPE-TV. Or write us at the following address.
We've been speaking about Gideon's hero story found in Judges 6 and 7. Gideon's story, you can't really miss it when you read the book of Judges, because it's one of the longest stories in the book of Judges. I think it's about the same length as Samson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Over here.
About 6 verses shorter.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I counted.
You counted them all.
I did.
So this is a long story. I'm wondering, I mean, it's nice for us because that's the story we're discussing, but why does he get so much airtime? I mean, page time.
That's right. You're in a different medium. It seems to me that it's not really Gideon's
story.
It's God's story. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reason also why he chose only 300. It's ridiculous to win a battle with 300 people that are armed with a torch and a pitcher and shouting, you know?
Especially when they're against over 130,000 men. So, yes. Like, 300, 130,000 plus.
You don't have to know math to know that the odds are against you here.
So it's really God is emphasizing again and again, this is my victory. I don't want you to become proud. I don't want you to be, you know, self-assured or relying on yourself. So even those that, you know, may have leapt it up in a more attentive way.
They didn't win the day either.
No, they didn't win the day. It was God winning the day. It's a miracle. It was a miracle that nobody can understand.
It's kind of like that same principle that Paul talks about in the New Testament where God says, Paul says, in my weakness, I am strong. Yes. And God says, my strength is made perfect
in weakness.
Right. In your weakness. So yes. We see this 300 people. Obviously, they're not going to get the victory without the divine help of God. Mm-hmm. And this is a big problem with the human race, is we tend to trust in our own resources, our own strategy, our own might. And the bigger our numbers, mm-hmm. the more we tend to do that. And so God has to really work to bring us to that place of weakness so that we can trust him and that he gets all the glory.
The problem is Gideon himself later on falls into the same trap.
But you're going out of our story.
We're
only doing 6 and 7.
I apologize.
But you can give us a sneak preview.
Well, Gideon himself.
It's not a happy ending, though.
It's not a happy ending, unfortunately. Mm. So that's why you only chose chapter 6 and 7.
I like the happy endings.
Yeah, I know. But somehow he also falls into the trap of relying on himself. He says, well, you know, there must be some pride also in him. He realizes this is God's doing, but hey, some credit can also come to me. And, you know, he makes an implement that only a priest should have used.
And this becomes a problem.
And that
afterwards.
Becomes later on the downfall again of Israel.
Yeah. How do you feel about that part being in the Bible too? Shouldn't the story have just ended here?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that. Uh-huh. I mean, what is God trying to say by continuing the story on and showing the exceeding sinfulness of the humans that are in this story? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so selfish, and I'm not like that at all. Oh my goodness. No, of course I am. Yeah. It's so easy for me to get caught up in my self-sufficiency and think that I can do this and I don't need anybody else to help me, but it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So it's a true-to-life story in that there's not quite the happy ending. Yet we're given a small glimpse of what can be. And that's big enough to absolutely shock us. And hopefully inspire us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for every person that's got, we all have a weakness of some kind, or more than one. And we want to get rid of it. We don't understand why we've got it. But when we see the big picture, we may realize that that's the very thing that God uses to make us more useful in his hand so that he can do more through us.
I often tell my daughter, one of my daughters, of our daughters, doesn't like maths. And
we're not going to say publicly.
No. I will not live this down.
They take off
she
to their mother, like, I'm afraid.
Yeah, she doesn't like maths. But I tell her, you know, God can transform this into your greatest strength.
Right.
You know, just ask him to help you.
This is a moment where weakness can become strength.
Yes.
Just a little while earlier, I don't know if you got to see me with Annette as we looked at all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And the principle kind of seemed to be emphasized that less can be more. Less of the sugar, less of these things can give you more health and more taste. I thought of it came home to me as she was putting in those things onto the oatmeal that it's actually when you give up something, you get a whole lot more.
It's one of those divine paradoxes that you find so often in the Bible.
And this is particularly strong in Gideon. How's the less more really come through? That moment, or is it one moment or several moments or a process?
Well, it seems to me that it's a process more here, that he's drawn in by God. Yes, he asks for a sign, but step by step God leads him, then takes away everything, all his security. I mean,
he keeps cutting away 32,000.
22,000 less, only 10,000
10,
left, 300, and then 300 is ridiculous, and God yet gives them the victory. And then there's also, you know, later on there's conflict within Israel itself. There's some tribal discussions and all this. So I think the lesson there is step by step, go and grab my hand and hang on to it. It may be a bumpy ride, but I'll carry you. And
keep
I think that's something that's very practical. That's, you know, I see in my life, you know, it's not always smooth sailing. It's not always going in one direction, up, up, up. The challenge is grab on.
Grab on.
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, why didn't God take all of those men and cut them down to 300 from the beginning? And by doing it in increments, he's giving Gideon repeated chances to
grow
to trust
his faith.
Him and to grow his faith. And it's not that God wasn't going to lose. I mean, it wasn't that God was going to lose at any point. He was always going to win. It's just how much can he teach Gideon in this process?
And maybe not just Gideon, all of Israel. Remember all those people that watched this, that kind of stood back and said, impossible. I mean, what is he thinking he's going to do with those few people? No. I think it was a teaching lesson for all of Israel.
A good, good didactic one, and one that God saw fit to preserve in a fairly long story in the book of Judges. Now, we're running out of time, but I want to give you this opportunity. In a nutshell, what is your favorite part of the story, and why?
My favorite part is the moment when he gets to know God. I mean, when God has appeared to him, and he gets a specific task, he does it. He goes at night, he's not quite ready to do it during the day, goes at night and destroys the altar and the Asherah. I think that shows for me somebody who's committed, and he was ready to be, you know, people were ready to lynch him the next day.
So like the action?
I like the action, and I like his way to pull through, to follow through.
Okay, very quickly.
I like the when they were drinking at the at the river, and how your outside actions reflect your heart.
Outside actions reflecting heart. Great.
According to the law of Moses, when they went to battle, they were supposed to make announcements that would weed out the, if you've bought a house but you haven't dedicated it, go do that. If you got married or you're supposed to have a wife, you haven't married her yet, go do that. But Gideon didn't do that because he saw the overwhelming size of the opposition. But even though he didn't do that, God intervened. And I just see the mercy of God, you know, through this whole story, taking people that are making mistakes and blunders and helping them get to where they need to be.
That comes out probably the clearest, God's mercy.
Yeah.
Well, a big thank you, Rob, Marla, Gerald. It was great having you with me on this story. I really enjoyed exploring it. And if you came in halfway through the program and missed out on part of it, don't worry, all's not lost. You can go to hopetv.org/storyline and you can watch this episode or any other episode at your leisure. And remember that right after the break, we'll be back. So don't go anywhere.
Because of you, Hope Channel is reaching lives around the world.
can't imagine how my life would be had I not found the Hope Channel. It means the world to me, you know. And I guess now that I'm thinking about it, I actually shudder to think, because the joy, the Bible, the music, the teaching, the connection that your heart can actually make by staying plugged in that way, it makes a tremendous difference. And I just can't imagine what my life would be without it. Don't even want to think about it.
Hope Channel is changing lives because of the support of viewers like you. If you'd like to assist financially with the mission of Hope Channel, call us at 888-4-HOPE-TV. That's 888-4-HOPE-TV. Or write us at the following address.
Gideon is a great example to me. He's someone who doesn't seem to have had any great talent, at least nothing that anyone would notice in the beginning. He's one of the little people who still went out and did what God wanted with what God gave him. Gideon's one of those people who learned that success is not really determined by what I don't have, but by how I use what I do have. That is the truth that I really want to let sink in. When Gideon grasps this idea, he starts with what is closest at hand. He starts at home, and that takes courage. It takes courage to make little changes. It takes courage to do it at home. It takes courage to reverse bad habits that I've let creep into my, maybe not just my diet, but also my relationships with those that I love the most. As this story unfolds, I've noticed a pattern. God systematically shows Gideon, and we stress that with our experts, that less is more. Gideon didn't need 32,000 or 100,000. I don't need more stuff, more opportunities, or perhaps even a different environment to make a difference. With God alone, I am more than a match for anything life may hold. I can reach out in God's strength. I invite you to discover personal victories as you put the plot of your storyline into God's great hands.